Welcome to Science in a Cup. I'm Alexis Papanikolaou from the Hawkesbury Institute for the Environment of Western Sydney University. Today with me is Dr. Marcus Nolf, who is also from the Hawkesbury Institute for the Environment. And we are just chatting before about his work on...
on the vulnerability of plants to embolism and to drought.
What's an embolism?
Embolism is a term that's used in medicine when we have little gas bubbles in our bloodstream that clog up the blood transport, then that's called an embolism. We find the same thing in plants where there's water transport, and gas bubbles can be quite detrimental.
So how does drought come in with embolism? What's the connection between those two?
Well, so plants generally need water for photosynthesis and growth, and they depend on water access. And once this access to water becomes limited, we're speaking of drought. And in the water transport system of plants, that creates a tension. And when this tension exceeds a certain threshold, then water evaporates within the little conduits, within the little microscopic vessels. And so this water vapor is basically a gas blockage to transport, and that's called an embolism.
I'll try to project this into my very limited knowledge of plant physiology. So you have something that looks like veins, but they're not veins. They're...
No, so I think a better image compared to veins might be little microscopic straws.
Okay.
And they do have ends on both sides, and they have connections between these straws. But what they transport almost exclusively is water. So there are some minerals that are transported up from the roots, but it's mainly water transport.
So where does the gas come from? Where does the gas embolism come from?
So gas forms when there's too much tension in the water transport system. So under extreme drought that plants can't handle anymore, there's too much tension, and this means that spontaneously water cavitates, water turns into gas, into water vapor. So in a way, the tension in the system becomes so big that water starts to boil and turn from the liquid phase into the gas phase.
So how do you measure those effects of this drought stress?
So what we're doing is we are inducing drought on plants. We can do this in potted plants by withholding water. We can cut off big branches and dry them down in the lab. We can even spin stem segments in a centrifuge and induce tension this way. And then we relate the amount of tension, the amount of water stress or drought stress that there's in the system with the reduction in flow that goes through the system. We can also do this by performing micro-CT, so X-ray computed tomography, which gives us a cross-section of the plant stem, and we can very clearly see how much of the water transport system is water-filled versus gas-filled.
And you can do that while the plant is still alive, or do you have to
Right.
put it alive in?
That? Yeah, we can put an entire plant in. It's not harmed unless we leave it in the machine for too long.
Okay, so that somehow uses X-rays or magnetic resonance. What does it use?
There's both techniques. The most promising one that we're currently using is X-rays.
And what's your particular contribution to that technique development? What are you obsessed about and focused about and dream about?
So what I've been dealing with in the last few months was a very objective way to deal with those images, to analyze these images. There is a lot of subjective, basically judging based on just visual observation. And we've been trying to make that more objective and more based on actual physiological parameters.
So do you use a computer algorithm to determine those parameters? Or?
Yeah, so we use image analysis, ImageJ for image analysis, and then we have developed an algorithm that calibrates our images based on hydraulic measurements.
So once you get all these measurements and compose them and synthesize them, and you start to understand more about drought stress and water tension, what's the benefit? What's the benefit to us, society, or the industry? Why is it important?
Well, so our climate is changing. We have had higher temperatures over the last few years specifically, but there's a long-term trend of rising temperatures throughout the year in many regions of the world. The climate also in many regions of the world gets drier and has been drier. There's been more drought events and more extreme drought events in the past few years than in the more distant history. And so looking at that prediction and that forecast of more and increasing drought, we are looking at how to optimize, let's say, orchards or forestry, what species to use because they might be more drought tolerant than other species.
So you're saying that different species have different mechanisms for responding to that drought stress?
Yeah, yeah. So their plants are generally fairly well adapted to the drought regime of their own area. The problem with trees is that the generations or the lifespan is much longer than the changes that we are seeing now in the climate. So,
and they also cannot move, right? They cannot just go on a holiday if it gets too warm.
Yeah, they can't go next to the river and just drink and then go back. And so these very short-term changes that we are seeing now pose a potential risk for even native forests. So another part of our research deals with how are native vegetation types responding to drought, and how will future drought and a drier climate in the future affect those communities.
So if I understand correctly, are you trying to predict what kind of species will be most suitable for a future climate of a particular location so that you can guide management decisions? Or you... Question, full stop.
Yes, so that is one aspect of it. There's research going on about, let's say, in agriculture, which plant varieties, which apple varieties, for example, are more drought resistant or can withstand more of these drought events without significant harm, so that also growers can choose their varieties based on where their locations are and their orchards are.
So what can a species do to adapt to this stress?
Plants can respond in a number of ways, actually, to drought. So the one of the most straightforward probably would be if water's limited where my roots are, let's grow more roots. Let's grow roots specifically to areas that might contain more water.
Which... So they can dig deeper or they can dig more laterally.
Right, right, yeah. And so they can build more fine roots to actually use the water that's around them better. There's also, basically water is transported from the roots to the leaves to transpire there. So the leaves are a big point of modification where plants can adapt to drought as well. So they can form more and denser hairs, trichomes, to stop evaporation on it to a certain level. They can also control their stomata more conservatively and just close up and stop photosynthesizing when water gets scarce. If you're going towards the desert, you will find succulent plants. So those are plants that can store water better. They have very thick, fleshy leaves or very thick stems. And then one of the things that we are more interested at and more looking at is wood anatomy as well. So these little microscopic tiny conduits that conduct water through the stem and through branches.
So the straws.
Right, the straws. They can be modified to be safer. They can be reinforced. They can have better safety valves in between those straws in these connections.
So why don't all plants have this strength?
There's generally a trade-off of safety versus efficiency, which means that I can either be on a highway where I can drive very fast, but then if there's an accident, there's a massive congestion, or I can have a network of smaller roads that are slower, but if anything happens on one road, I can just take a detour and don't lose any time.
And that was Dr. Marcus Noh from the Hawkesbury Institute for the Environment. Thank you so much, Marcus.
Thank you.
And this was the episode of Science in a Cup on drought stress. Please subscribe on iTunes or visit our website, stressfruitfly.com. Thank you very much and have a great week.